Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello and welcome to Help here on Arrow FM 92.7. I am one of your hosts, Abby.
And I am the other host, Michael.
Nice of you to be listening in and joining with us today. We are taking a different approach on today's show. I look to you to see if you were going to finish my sentence.
Yes, we're going to go up instead of down.
We thought that we would try the podcast style. Basically, we just talk and don't put any music in. Although I think some podcasts, when people are like talking for ages, they stop every now and again and add in like a little instrumental.
Yeah, some celloist or pianoist or something.
Yeah. Like the Bible Project do that. But what I find with that is that the music will start playing and I'm like, oh, we're finished. We're at the end. And then they start talking again. I'm like, oh, and then I keep thinking it's going to finish over and over and over. And it never does.
Yeah. No, I mean, for us it's different though. I mean, we're trying to figure this out.
Are we? We're trying to figure it out. You were totally thinking about something completely different. I can see it on your face.
I was trying to think about the other podcasts that I've listened to, but a lot of them don't have that music.
Yeah.
Not that I listen to many now. I used to listen to one, and it was just old men talking.
I don't mind trying it out because I know sometimes when we've got into the flow of a conversation and then I've stopped to play music, I found it a little bit disruptive. But then at the same time, the use of music has been good to help kind of stop and gather my thoughts. Oh, we could always say, okay, it's time for a 30-second silence.
And I can sing.
And sing. Yeah, you could sing for us. But one thing we did talk about in the car was we can still have those little moments of breaks, but add in like little factoids or jokes or riddles or...
Or just awkward silence.
Or just awkward silence, yeah.
Enjoy this.
Or someone breathing. Yep. And what is it that they do? ASMR, when like people eat and you listen to them. Ooh,
you just like to do it right now.
No, please don't do that. But anyway, I just Googled up some riddles, so are you ready for one?
Sure.
Okay.
Riddle me this.
That's what I put, riddle me this.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually put that in the search. Riddle me this. What word looks the same backwards and upside down?
So it's going backwards and forwards.
No, backwards and upside down.
That's a very good one.
It is. Now, the only problem with riddles now is that you're going to stop talking so that you can think about it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So that is the riddle that we are starting with. And so if you at home or are listening, wherever you are listening, have a think about that riddle and see if you know the answer. If you do, you can, I don't know, say it out loud. See if someone hears.
Pod.
No, that's not the answer on here.
Okay.
I want the answer that's on here.
Pod is that word though.
No, it's not. There's a different answer on here.
I know it's a different buzz.
Okay, so the riddle is, what word looks the same backwards and upside down? And it has to be the specific word that is on my phone.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, thanks. Alrighty, while Michael ponders that in the background, last week we sat here and we didn't really know what we were going to talk about and we ended up having a conversation around, I guess, body image, self, like your self-belief, the way you see yourself. You had posed the question, something about when do you put your best suit on?
Yeah, I mean, we're part of that song we listened to, one of them, was just putting when do you actually dress up? I guess that led into a whole conversation around it. I think my initial thinking was, you know, are there specific things you go to during the week or do that you would put
dress
on your
up for.
Best suit for?
And why? And why do we do that? And that's what kind of led us down that conversation. And I shared, I probably shared more from my perspective, particularly transitioning into motherhood. This show is about that parent world and obviously I think anybody listening to some of the things we talk about can relate to the topic or the theme or the conversation. But for us, we wanted to create a space where we can talk specifically about things that we've experienced or are experiencing or want to know answers for, have questions about during that parent life, because that's parent life is forever now. We don't ever stop being a parent, and there's certainly many times that we come up against challenges and we think, man, why did no one tell us about this? And that topic around your identity and your self-image and your belief in that transition you go through from before your child is born to afterwards, that's not necessarily a topic I find is in my world, in my community, that's spoken about to prepare. Like, I never thought about it. I was not prepared for the change. It hadn't even crossed my mind.
No. Well, the things that I think we struggle with haven't crossed the mind.
I was talking specifically about the transition from before children to after, right, and then my struggle of my identity in that process, right, and my self-image. Not everything, not every topic. Were you listening?
I was, but then you've also got me going on this riddle.
On the riddle. You're still thinking about the riddle.
It's a problem. Like, I've got my brain going in two different directions right now. I'm engaged in this conversation. I'm like, God, what is that word?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you want to check out our conversation that we started last week, you can jump onto the ArrowFM website.
Yep.
Look for the tab at the top that says programs, scroll down until you find help, and you will find our previous podcasts in there, and you can have a listen.
Yeah, enjoy listening.
Yeah.
you'll be entertained, I'm sure, at some point.
I hope people are entertained listening to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for Mike and I, we are, you know, we're experiencing this. We're not counsellors. We're not professionals. We just are muddling our way through, trying to be helpful. And if we can have conversations that spark thought and then other conversations within the community, then we're achieving our goal. We're certainly not sitting here saying this is how it should be done, because
yeah, I think
we might look back in 5 years and be like, what the heck were we saying on that radio show?
Yeah, well, I mean, yes, probably will. And probably like, ooh, cringe.
Yep.
But I think that's also one of the biggest things we did learn, is that when you hit this point, everyone has an opinion about how things should be done and this and that. And I think that's one thing we definitely identified that we struggled with a little bit, trying to figure out what advice was good advice to listen to, what wasn't. And so I think for us now, we're very clear that, you know, hey, this is our perspective. At times we might do stuff on a show where we've done some research on, that people have actually gone through and studied and done studies on, but we don't expect people to take our opinion on how to do things, and we try not to form an opinion on saying, do this. We more want to offer ideas and allow you to have this understanding that, hey, everyone's going to have a thought for you. You know what's going to work for yourself and your family. And so hopefully what we share is just getting you thinking about some different options and a different way of thinking, yeah.
Yeah. Have you thought about that word yet?
I'm struggling with it.
Do you want me to tell you?
Sure.
Okay. So what word looks the same backwards and upside down? It is swims.
Yes.
S-W-I-M-S.
Yeah. So I got stuck on the O and the U. U turned into an N. So anyway.
Do you want another one?
Sure.
Okay, then. Riddle me this. What word is pronounced the same if you take away four of its five letters?
Q.
Huh?
Q.
Yes. Oh, look at your face. Everything is right with the world now because Michael was able to get it straight away. Like, he's happy. He doesn't need another riddle. He's got it. He's good to go. So the answer to that was Q.
Q-U-E-U-E and Q.
Q, we wanted to continue on the conversation. It's funny doing something new because I can tell when I would naturally go to put music on.
Yeah.
My body's like, now it's time to put music on. And I'm like, oh, no, we're not doing that today. Anywho, we wanted to continue on the conversation, see where it goes. There's like I said last week, I talked a lot about myself and my perspective. And I really wanted to know this conversation from Michael's perspective, maybe a dad's perspective, a male's perspective.
Mm-hmm. Of what my identity shift is like.
Yeah, well, if you can look back to Friday and how we started talking about different things and, you know, I don't know what it's like for a dad going through that process of knowing that you've got a child coming and then the child comes and...
Yeah. I mean, first step to change an identity is you go and put papers in at the government and then... Sorry, bad jokes, I know. I think it is an interesting question because for my perspective, like my body wasn't changing. So it wasn't necessarily about physical things that were happening to me, but it was about seeing what was kind of going on in our life. And I mean, it's easy the first time round to know that there's going to be a need to step up around when your partner's getting more and more pregnant and is physically unable to do things. I mean, I'm kind of straight to my practical side of things, aren't I?
It's fine.
Because I mean, as you progress, but I think. What didn't help in that time is the job that I had at the time as well. So I'm trying to analyze how it was going because at the job at the time I wasn't around at home much. So already you were having to do quite a bit anyway. But there was definitely the need to slow down in life or try to be aware that you weren't as physically able to do as much. So me having to do more of it, but then I'll do it in my way, so I think the first thing is kind of assessing how your partner's going and if you are trying to cover it and how that actually looks, especially when the expectations are different.
Mm.
I feel like I don't know if it's really answering.
It's not really answering it because you're not really looking, well, I'm not... I was going to rephrase that, but I don't know how I'd rephrase it.
Not looking past the...
You're looking at the practical. Yeah. You're looking at the practical, whereas I'm talking to you about your belief in yourself, your core, you know, like what you're confident in as a person and how you view yourself and how you see yourself.
Yeah. The trigger I always come back to through this is my... desire, my need to provide for the family, especially in a money way. I think when the hardest part is that when you have just your spouse, and this is something you've got to work through, is, you know, you can be a little bit more lenient to then all of a sudden have that dependent and recognizing or get into the thought process that actually it's a lot harder to want to do certain things because it's all of a sudden it's a bigger risk.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something I spoke about. I was actually talking to one of the colleagues today, how there are just some things you just don't understand until you have a child. And I think that's one of them, like the whole aspect around working and how you're employed and how you're doing work. Job security all of a sudden shoots really high because... Okay, if we were just together and you were working and I was working and I lost my job, hey, you're still working, so it's fine. But all of a sudden, there isn't that safety net that you've got these little kids you want to look after and you want to do the best for, and your wife you want to do your best for. But so then you want to make sure your job is really secure, which then adds in a bit of extra stress as well at times, depending on how it's going. And that recognition that I can't just go shopping around. Like the decision I made when Lucy was young, because I wasn't home much with my current position, my current job, that scared me to find another job, because it wasn't like the fact that, oh, I'm just going to quit and hold out for a couple months. Like I couldn't. And so then there's that fear of what do I do? At that point, I wasn't secure enough myself to know that I had other skill sets because, I mean, how old was I back then, 24? Kind of only been in this workforce for a couple of years. I'd done stuff before I went to study, but still my career was quite young, so I didn't feel like I had much skill to offer. So that's probably the biggest thing that scared me, is that the weight of responsibility, which makes you recognize that job security is quite high, because that's for a big source of providing for your family.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the big initial ones.
Yeah.
At least, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to hear your perspective on what goes through your mind at that time. I think when we think about the question you were asking last week is like, when do you put your best on for you? When did you put your best on back then? When do you put your best on now? And, you know, did you worry about what other people thought about you? Did you see yourself in, you know, a positive way, or did you have confidence in who you were or how you looked? Like all of those types of things.
Yeah. I think in that time I definitely didn't necessarily put my best forward in the areas that were important to. I think we get to a point where you reevaluate what is actually important in life, and I know we've gone through that, and we had a few kids before we got to that point. But I know that I wasn't necessarily I know I did my best to be a good father at home and be a good husband, but then was I necessarily putting my best for then at that time? Maybe not. I remember those times I was tired and just wanted to sleep. So it was a hard question because, I mean, I struggled with insecurities for all of that.
Mm-hmm.
My lack of worth in my skills and abilities shone through, and it wasn't until I started to get confident that I am actually good at what I do. So I would always want to put my best forward at work. I think that was probably one of the biggest ones. So I think this is where a lot of the, from my experience, men's identity is wrapped up in work.
This is a question I was going to ask you just now, was that what is identity for you as a, you know, as a man? What is that? Because for me, I'm sitting here thinking you're telling me a lot of doing things, like practical things, and that is important as well. But what I'm asking is, what was your belief in who you are as a person? Like, I feel like it's trying to get down a little bit further. But then for me, I'm looking at it from my lens, from my perspective. Is it that identity for men isn't so about who you are? Like, if you were to sit down and have this conversation before having children, you know, I mean, we go through different phases in our life where we're defining our identity, and we see that with raising the kids. They hit certain ages and certain milestones, and all of a sudden their personalities come out a little bit more, they find their voice, they start to decide what they like, what they don't like, what they want to be a part of, what they don't want to be a part of. They start to figure out what their interests are, what their skill sets are, you know, and we go through certain times in our life at different ages where our identity is shaped. It's always being shaped, and it's always being challenged, or it's being broken down, or it's being built up. You know, that's just the effect of life and people around us and our inner belief system. For you going into fatherhood, because that's the time frame that we're kind of looking at here, I often say that wouldn't it be great if we could have these conversations before baby is born, so that as I'm preparing for this baby to come, I'm also thinking about who am I as a person, not as a mother, not as an office administrator, not as a wife, not as a daughter, not as a sister. Who am I? Because that's the foundation on what I stand upon in all these spheres in my life. And so I think that's how I see, for me as a female, as a mother, I would have benefited from that type of conversation before baby come to have start thinking about it. Rather on the other side, when you're like, I don't know who I am anymore, and you're also trying to navigate what being a mum is, would it be the same for dads? Would dads find that type of conversation of who are you as a person, not necessarily what you do, but acknowledging that that obviously is a big part of identity for men?
Yeah.
And, like, how would that conversation benefit you? Would it be similar to how the mothers have the conversation, or would it be different?
I think it would be quite different. Now, there will always be men that will want to have that kind of conversation. But I think...
Same with females.
Same with females, yeah. I mean, in this where it's trying not to break it down. Like, generally, a lot of the guys, from my perspective, it is around what activities and what things you do builds the identity for a male very strongly. Like, I've said in the past to some people, like, what's the second or third question a man will ask another man when they get to know them? It's often, what do you do for work, or do you play sport? It's like those two questions, because that is a whole lot of identity for the person, and a guy will introduce them and be like, hey, I'm this person, I do this.
So if I was saying to you, hey, you know, what do you do? What is it that I'm trying to find out from you when you say, like, is it that I'm just trying to find out your actual job? Or is it when you ask that person to another male, you know, is it just because you're generally interested in their job, or is it because it tells you a little bit about the person?
Yeah, it tells you a bit about the person, tells you a bit about how they might see the world. For me, I like to ask because I like to show interest. I mean, that sounds bad, showing interest. I like to be interested in what that person is, what's important to that person. So is their workplace? And you can figure it out pretty quickly, because it'll be like when you ask them about their job, and they might be like, oh, yeah, I just do this and this. And they're not really that interested in talking about it. But then when you go into sport, they might be really wanting to talk about it or something else. So for me, I use it as a way of trying to identify what is important to that person, what they value and what they don't. Because I know when you can get someone talking about something they're passionate about or they like doing, for a guy, they'll keep talking about it.
Right.
And like, I mean, I had that conversation with someone at work today where I've been trying to create a rapport with them, and I knew he just went to WaliCon board game convention. So I was asking about that, and it's probably the first time him and I have actually had a reasonable conversation where it flowed, because up until then it just hasn't happened.
Mm.
And so I think going back to what you're looking at, the identity for a man and what they do and where they put their best foot forward often is in those arenas where it's an action, or it's linked to an activity or something like that.
Mm. Do you think those questions around knowing who you are is just maybe something that maybe just you growing up didn't necessarily experience those conversations, so therefore it wasn't something maybe you knew how to answer? Or do you think that as society it's not really a focal point that we learn to discover who we are? You know, like...
That's a good one. I probably don't have a good solid answer, because there's a lot of times for me growing up, or when I've been thinking about it, like, I didn't necessarily have that confidence to know or ask those questions. But that's not to say that someone else did. And so,
yeah, because you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
If you don't know how to know who you are or understand your being, then how do you even know that that's important?
Yeah. You don't.
No, you don't.
Yeah, and once you know what you don't know, then you can start to ask those questions.
And is it important? Is it important for a dad, for a man, for a, you know, for young men, boys, to know who they are?
I think it is really important, and I think it's it's trying to understand how to ask them and get that out of them, because I don't think if you come from the approach of let's sit down and talk about who you are, immediately walls go up, because they don't, it's not necessarily a natural way of going with it.
Because I even find just sitting here talking with you, your answer will always go to the doing.
Yes.
It always goes to the practical. But then that, you know, that's conversation we have constantly within our marriage is, you know, who are you? Like, if you had to answer that, who are you as a person? How would you answer that?
Hopefully with words. As soon as you ask me that, my response is like, you know, I'm a dad. I have.
That's what you do. That's what you have.
But that's the link.
But who are you? There's other dads in this world.
Yeah.
But who's Michael Hollingsworth?
Yeah. Yeah, but all my answers come back to being linked to an occupation or a doing or something.
Yeah, but then for me, it's that going deeper again. Like, I'm a mum, and that's very much a part of who I am. Mm. There's characteristics of mums. But again, it's what I do. It's that mix as well. But if you asked me that question, who are you? I can sit here and tell you who I am.
Who are you?
I'm Abby. You're going to put this back on me. Okay. And that as I answer this, the thing that I find is it's not easy in our society, I think, to talk about yourself this way because it can come off as self-centered or self-focused or arrogant or whatever. And I think it's finding the balance. You have to be able to, well, you don't have to be able to do anything. I think it is good if we can get to a place of confidence where we can be asked that question and without shame or guilt or insecurity be able to just answer and say, I'm a good person. I am a kind person. I'm a creative person. I'm a thoughtful person. There are times when I am wise. I am a source of delight. I am a force to be reckoned with. I am gentle. I also am strong. I am opinionated. I see the world straight out black and white, but have learned to embrace the colour. That's just some of the things of who I am. And I can sit here and say and believe wholeheartedly that that is who I am. But then you know my journey that I really had to stand on this last year, because last year my character was attacked by a couple of people who were really close to me.
Yeah.
And I really had to stand firm on who I knew that I was and my actions, because I knew that my personality, who I am, had never intended to hurt anyone. And it was just miscommunication or no communication or just perspectives. And you know, like, we all get into those situations with certain people where you can't change their mind. Their view is their view. And if that's what they want to believe, that's what they want to believe.
Yeah.
But when it comes from a place where your character has been attacked, you have to know who you are so that you can stand firm. And I think when you are parenting, it's really important to know who you are, because there are times where you do not feel like a good person, or you feel like you're failing at your parenting, or you feel like you haven't been the most gentle of mothers. And that's in those moments is when you stand back and go, no, hang on, I am a good person. I am a kind mother. What is actually going on here? This hasn't got anything to do with who I am. This is more to do with the circumstance that I'm in, or the fact that I'm really tired or whatever. You know, you can, rather than going down that path of beating yourself up, going, oh, I'm failing as a mum, or I'm failing as a dad, or I'm terrible at my job. It's like, you know, who you are and knowing who you are and your identity is the foundation of your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
My belief anyway.
I think, I do, because I do hear what you're saying, and I do believe that guys will get to the point where they do know those character things about them. Maybe it's that they often will be like, well, you know, that's, if someone is sharing it, it's like, oh, it's all good that you say that, but I want to see you to, like, show that, like, actually do it, show. I think that is probably where maybe there is a bit of quite a big difference in the chemistry of the brain of how it works, because I know for myself, I've said, I know, like, it's all good that you say that, but until I see you do it, then that's where things will shift. Mm-hmm. But I do agree with you that even not just as parents, but every person should get to know who they are, and so they can hold on to that security.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that I'm a patient person.
Yeah.
It's not to say that I'm patient all the time.
But you are a patient person.
But I'm a patient person.
You are.
Yep. And yeah, maybe it is a hard thing for people to say out front, whether it's hard to know. It'd be interesting to see some research on this as to whether that is the way that guys understand it and females understand it is different, whether they can share it, if there's different ways that they feel I can share it or not share it.
Well, maybe it comes down to confidence too, because they're all linked in with each other. Your self-confidence, your self-worth, your self-esteem, all of that is linked in with knowing who you are and being confident in it. And while you were talking, I was just thinking, it's, you know, I've started the journey of trying to learn Te Reo Māori. And when I first started, I was so scared to speak a single Māori word. I was so intimidated. I thought that people would laugh at me. I thought that, you know, it was insecurity driven. But then in order to progress and actually learn Te Reo Māori, you have to give it a go. You have to speak it out. You have to be confident and practice, practice, practice. And then the more you practice, the more you get confident in it, and it becomes second nature and you become a lot more relaxed in it. And so I was thinking, I wonder if in some sense it's a similar concept, that when you are not used to speaking about who you are in confidence, it can feel very unsettling or out of your comfort zone. But when you can practice saying, I am, you know, kind, I am patient, I am loving, I am clever, and you just start saying it and you practice and practice, then you can get that confidence, and someone can sit there and say, so tell me who you are. And you can say straight up, I am Abby Hollingsworth, and I am this, 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 and this. And you don't have to be rude or arrogant about it, but it's knowing who you are, knowing your self-worth, knowing your confidence, or, you know, when life starts to really shake you, challenges come your way, or you're having low moments, or you're feeling defeated, you can pick yourself up and be like, I'm feeling this way right now, but I know I can do this.
Yeah.
Because this is who I am. So I wonder if it is just a sense of practice.
Well, I think you're right, because I do recall a lot of self-help books, or so self-help bits and pieces that will always say, when you get up in the morning, look yourself in the mirror and say three things positive. And it's that, people say, it's, you know, that power of positivity. It's that actually it's you reminding yourself of who you are and speaking it into what it's going to be, even if you're not feeling it. And it goes right back to the way you rewire your brain.
Yeah.
You repeat that behavior, and that's going to be what your default start to be.
Yeah, if I sat here and said to you right now, tell me the flaws of who you are.
This little finger.
I think you already think of things straight away.
Yeah, because we look at, right, because it is a negative society.
We are so used to telling ourselves where we've failed and where we're not, we're not good. Like, we're used to having that conversation internally all the time. Not everyone. Like, I'm not speaking on behalf of every, you know, human in the world. I'm just talking, you know, majority maybe, but, you know, we are very good at kind of negatively putting ourselves down and feeding the insecurity and feeding that negative belief in ourselves, when really it is challenging that and feeding the positive belief in ourselves.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I said that last year I really had to stand firm on the foundation, but actually talking and remembering this, I think a lot of the work that I did around my inner talking was when I was trying to come out of depression, because that was a lot of the work that I had to do, was taking that negative intrusive thought and then thinking like five positives over that one negative, and retraining my brain to think in a positive way to try and help me get up in the morning.
And that's that's some really good thinking, because you've seen and witnessed the experience of doing that regularly because you had to, and how it impacts. And I think you're right in the sense that we live in a negative world. The first thoughts that come to us are negative, and we see that in society. Like, we always talk about how the news is always negative.
Yeah.
Even in workplaces, like, you, as much as people try, mistakes are often criticized more than things that people have done well is uplifted. Yeah. And so then immediately you start looking through that lens of everything is negative.
Yeah.
I think it's always a place for that, but it's always needs to be balanced.
Yeah. I definitely can see how, you know, knowing who you are, like going back to our original kind of point with dads and with men, your identity, it does look a little bit different to how females see it, possibly. Maybe not all. There's probably females out there that see it very much in a similar way as you, and they think, oh, actually, I really resonate with what you're saying. Like, we're not boxed in. We, you know, we don't have a female box, and we have to be that way. And it's the same with men. We are, and we live in that world where we understand now that everyone is unique and everyone is different, and we all have different personalities, and we all, and because our life shapes us, you know, your life to where you got to, like, you know, from birth up to becoming a dad, there are things that happened and people you encountered and situations you were in that contributed to the way you saw yourself.
Mm.
And it doesn't mean that anyone's done anything wrong. It's just life and how you perceived it at that time, or a situation that happened when you were seven and how you perceived and felt and thought in that time as a seven-year-old. You've carried that because you've never had to rethink that moment before.
Yeah.
And so everyone kind of has a different experience. And I get, this is why I come back to, I think that's why these types of conversations are good to have before we have children.
Yeah.
Because yes, you can figure it out when you've got kids, but it's a heck of a lot harder when you're trying to also figure out how to be a parent and you realize I have no understanding of who I am. Or for people who have, like you said, I remember sitting down, and this is probably where similar, you might resonate with what you were saying. I was talking to a mum at one of the coffee mornings last year, and she was saying the hardest thing for her has been the fact that she was career, and that's what her identity and self-worth was built in. And then she left her career by choice so she could start a family and be a stay-at-home mum, but she did not realize how difficult that was going to be, because all her sense of confidence and important and self-worth had been wrapped up in her career. Now that she didn't have that, she didn't know who she was. She just said, I don't know who I am. I don't even know what I like anymore. I don't know what I want to do with my time. I don't even know why this kid would love me. Like, just was, you know, because for that portion of her life, she really knew who she was in that industry that she was working in.
Yeah.
So I think that's why when you're coming into having children, it is good to have these conversations. Whether you sort it out there, whether you go on that journey and try and figure it out before babies come, because you never really fully figure it out, or whether it's just an awareness so that if you find yourself in a space where you're sitting there with your children and you think, I have no idea who I am, I'm not confident in what I'm doing, I remember having a conversation about this. I need to go and find someone to talk to that can help me process what I'm thinking and feeling.
Yeah, because, I do agree there in the fact that, you know, having that conversation or even just learning the tools to have that conversation is important. And even if you start to rewire, just wire yourself and knowing who you are before you have children is good, because I still believe that there are some things you just can't quite grasp.
No.
I was talking to someone and they said something to me about, I guess, expectations of how things should be. And it was just a whole thing of, like, you actually have no idea what that means for me to do that with having kids. And I know you don't have kids. I know you can say, oh, yeah, I understand. No, it's harder. you don't actually understand the level, and there's no way, there's no words I can use to say.
Yeah.
Because all the, I guess when I sit down and try to break it down, I'm like, all these little calculations go through my head about trying to achieve this thing or do this thing that most of them affect around the family and the kids and, yeah. and how's this going to work. And then that links to this and this and this. And it's yeah. like, I don't even know how to start to explain this to you. It just, so there are definitely some things you won't necessarily know how to answer, but by learning the tools or the techniques yeah. to do beforehand is going to be really helpful.
Yeah.
And maybe it is, maybe do the whole stand in front of a mirror, say five things you like about yourself, before you start the day
mm.
or at the end of your day, put some positivity.
Yeah. Well, that's right. I think that's why for me it's really important to distinguish the difference of knowing who you are is separate. No, it's not separate, but it's almost like I see there's like a circle and the inner circle is you, knowing who you are, your character, your personality. And then tethered to that mm. is, you know, what you do, your job and your family or your faith or your hobbies or, you know, because you can't have, you are in everything that you do.
Yeah.
But you got to know who you are. What you do doesn't define you. It's who you are. Like it's who you are. It's what you believe. It's what your values are. That's what defines you, not your job, not whether you're a mum or a dad, not your place in this world. It's who you believe about you and having that confidence. And I think that's really important to spend time in our lives focusing in on that and the importance of that. And it doesn't have to be long and dramatic, but it is figuring out some things that I love doing are personality tests. And I think my favorite one so far has been the one that my brother introduced us to. It was the Enneagram personality types. There are 9 different personality types, but it's not boxed personalities. They'll have teachings on what each type is.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there is so much freedom in it because you can identify with other types, but it comes down to that core drive in life. Now, whether that's yeah. something that you've been born with or whether it's something that's kind of just crafted over time, I think that's the big question. But what I've enjoyed about it is it's really helped me to understand why I react the way I react to certain situations, why I think the way I think to certain situations, but then also how I can grow. Because for me, I'm a type 1, which is the perfectionist reformer, and mm-hmm. we can see things very black and white. It's either wrong or right. It's this way or that way, very justice. And it really bugs me when someone says something or does something and it's just so like, that's so not right. That's so not how you live in this world to then not say anything. Like, I'm not a personality that can just let things go. Like, there is passion that comes with that. Mm. And which is good because there's a place for that in this world, but then there are some times where that goes into a negative space, particularly towards myself, and I can beat myself up and I can be the worst critic upon myself and the highest expectations.
Yeah.
And so it's great understanding that this is what a type 1 looks like. This is a type 1 in a healthy space. This is a type 1 in a negative space. But that doesn't mean that that's what I have to be.
No.
And I remember saying to my brother the other day, there was this quote and it said, it was like a type 1 saying, you're finding it hard to understand me in this situation. How do you, live with me. This is exactly how I feel. So kind of referring to you find it hard. Well, try being me in my own internal body. I find it difficult. Like, welcome to the club. And I was laughing about it with him and he said, yeah, but what do you do with that? Do you just take that and accept that, oh, this is just how it is? You find it difficult to live with yourself. You find you can just excuse yourself to be someone difficult to live with. Or do you take that and think, oh, how, you know, let's grow from this. How can I find peace in myself? How can I find peace in my being? And I think that's what I've enjoyed about the whole Enneagram personality.
I think because it does definitely identify, and I think it's good for your partner as well, because it identifies how, like you say, how they're driven, why they might make the decisions they make, or why they might answer the way they answer.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know for you, because you say it's black and white, when we've been encountered situations that are grey, where there is no clear right or wrong, they're the decisions that you really struggle with that I need to step in and help you with, because of the fact that it's like, well, what one's right?
Yeah.
There is no right.
Especially when it comes to having a family of, you know, essentially we are a house with five different personalities.
Yes.
Living together under one roof.
Yep.
And, like, and three of them are unrefined, out of control personalities that are still trying to find themselves.
Yeah. And so then, like, me being that type two, which is a
helper,
which my whole operandus, however you say that word, is to serve people. And so I would just want to know what they need and then give them what they need. And a lot of the time it's not necessarily asking them what need. It's just like, okay, I see a need. I want to fill it. And it's with that, it's trying to hold that in checks and balances.
Yeah.
Because it's partly why I go to that practical side. Like, I know that general comment, you know, guys are always practical, rah, rah, they want to just fix stuff. I know for me, a lot of that comes out of because I want to help people. Mm. So as soon as you come up with an issue, and I've been trying really hard at this lately.
Yeah.
I will be like, oh, sorry, I've been trying really hard to just not do this lately. As soon as you come up with an issue, you're just going through trying to figure stuff in your brain. I'll be like, okay, well, how do we fix this?
And see, interesting that you say this, because I'm not saying that, you know, that mentality in the world is wrong, you know, but learning more about myself, I am a problem solver.
Mm.
I like to solve the problems. I like to, this is going on. How do we move forward? Sometimes my downfall is I forget that there is an emotional element in all of this and there are feelings that need to be processed. But I like to solve problems. So I don't want Michael to solve the problems because I like to solve the problems. And if I can't solve the problem, then I'll come and ask you for your help. And that's more to do with my personality, more so than whether I'm a female or a male.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe though, there is that thing that men like to be a bit more practical, but I think I feel like society for centuries has always said this is men and this is women.
Yep.
This is what men do, this is what women do. And now either I'm just growing up and seeing the world and learning and deciding what I want to believe, but part of me is like, is it though? Is it just a male thing or is it both? Like, I don't like to stereotype. And I think that's why it is good to have the conversations of like, tell me your dad perspective. Tell me your man perspective. Because there might be things that we can identify with each other.
Yeah.
Because there are. But there are some things that I don't quite, I can accept that, you know, your work, what you do, being the provider, that is really important to you.
Mm.
I can't connect in that same emotional level around that topic.
Yeah.
Because for me, it's not like you get me talking about the depth of like, who are you as a person? Let's talk about your character, your feelings, your emotions, like your being. You know, that gets me excited. And I don't think I'm articulating myself well here, but I can see where there are some differences and I can accept that that's really important. And I can also see how in other men, it's the same. You have the same comments, that same thing. I've read it in books as well. It doesn't mean that the book is right because it was in the book, but you know, there is a different language to men. They see things differently.
Yeah.
They hear things differently. So I can accept that. But then I think there are things that I feel that you're like, yeah, I feel that too. And then all of a sudden it brings a bit of a connection between the different genders and the different roles. Whereas when the world is like, no, this is how men work, this is how women work, it creates a divide.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's what we are seeing a lot more later days, with there being a lot more talk about these different like the non-traditional roles, I guess is what you call them, yeah, or whatever. But that side of things starting to grow because, let's be honest, when people did fit gender roles, that's not necessarily going to mean that all the men felt they did it well, or like there's the whole sense of, you know, some people were naturally better at it than others. And probably a lot of it is locked up with the fact that people were trying to fit a role that was expected of them in society.
Yeah.
And then really struggle with it. And that's where a lot of the mental health stuff starts to kick in, when people are trying to fit a certain persona they don't fit. And I guess that's where later on, where we are, I guess society is talking or being open to a lot more, and how things aren't just so traditional, that we are starting to see differences come out now.
Yeah.
I guess it's for like you say, in this realm, it's very easy to get lost. So that's where, going back to what we're trying to talk about, having that technique of, hey, who am I?
Who am I?
How do I actually figure that out for myself? Especially for people that aren't good at asking those questions, because I know I'm not very good at asking those questions, which is why I struggle, which is why you're really helpful there. because I don't I don't necessarily stop to ask it.
Yeah.
And that's my issue, is I don't necessarily stop to ask the question and understand why. I just go, well, I'll just keep going.
Yeah. So my question to you before we finish is, as a dad,
mm-hmm.
and you've got your experience of knowing who you are,
mm-hmm.
how do you then teach your children? You have a daughter and two boys. How do you help them discover who they are before they become adults?
I figure out what they're like. Sorry. That's actually really good, and that's probably something that we're going to have to develop, because I can speak from this age of having we've got 9, 8, and 6-year-old,
mm-hmm.
that what is important for me is to stop and validate their emotions with them. And I think right now I'm trying to make sure I do stop and talk.
Yeah.
Because I guess I like to ask them questions about why they might be thinking a certain way, or why do they ask that. Instead of just kind of shutting it down, I attempted to do that, I should say.
Mm.
Because I don't know at what point they're really going to understand who they are due to the development, but I believe that by being a parent who can stop and talk to the kids regularly and ask the questions of, why do you think you're feeling emotional? Like you're feeling sad. So what's going on in your brain? What are you thinking?
Yeah.
Why do you think you're thinking that? I think that will start to help develop in the later years, that habit of being like, hey, why are you feeling sad?
Yeah.
Or why are you so happy that you can't even sit still?
Yeah.
So that's what I believe.
Yeah, I think, you know, you can see it in the kids already now, that the moment you speak kindness and encouragement into them and who they are, you get such a big, powerful reaction from them. Like Zane's birthday party the other day with the family, and we all laughing around, saying things about him. And then we're kind of, okay, let's seriously encourage him, you know, for his birthday. And he had, you know, uncles and aunties and grandparents and his parents and his cousins and his siblings saying kind things to him about what they see in him and what they love about him. And you could just see, you know, the initial reaction of a smile and that warmth. But then you could also see how he kind of didn't shut down, but you could see how he was then processing. He went into that space of, he was getting all this information and he didn't know how to deal with it, because it was probably not too much, but it was, you know, a lot of love and a lot of encouragement. And he just took that all in. He didn't really say anything because he was just processing it all, because he's hearing these people who are so important to him speak love and kindness and identity and into him. And it was overwhelming for him, I think, in a good way. Yep. So maybe what we could do is next week pick up from here. Like today we've really talked about, kind of rounded off that conversation of self, like knowing who you are. Last week we talked about self-image, and the importance of knowing who you are. And I think maybe next week we can just round it off with talking about how we bring that into our parenting, but also how we bring that into our relationship with each other to help us discover it. This is a great topic, and it is a big topic. It's one that you can talk about for a couple of weeks in a row because there's so many aspects to it and it intertwines into different little things. So I hope that with your listening today, you've heard something that's been encouraging and inspiring. That it's made sense because we're off the script here. We're just going with the flow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the biggest thing really is hopefully it makes you just ask some questions because that's really what it comes back to is ask some questions and stop and think about it.
Yep.
Which a lot of us don't do.
Yep. And if you've got feedback for us, just, you know, write in, send us an email, tell us your feedback and your thoughts. Like, we're still learning. We are totally fine not having it right and saying things that you might think is, oh, really? You know, you think that? Yep. It's all good. Like, tell us because we're just having a great old conversation over here.
Yep.
But
that's one thing we say to our kids, eh?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to get it wrong.
Yeah.
But we're going to do our best.
We're going to do our best. So if you hear something that we say and you're like, oh, that's a little bit wrong, you know, hit us up, tell us. Let's come in and have a conversation with us. But for now, we are going to say farewell. Thank you so much for your time today. It has been a pleasure.
Take care. Bye.